Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
1-2 pitch is a fly ball. Deep center field. Marcy's back. Track. Wall. Boy. Boy. Baseball. Wild Bill. A three-run shot. And the Brewers walk off the Marlins. And they break out the brooms in Milwaukee.
Lane Grindle's call as the Brewers sweep the Miami Marlins. A come-from-behind walk-off. 3-1, the final from William Contreras. It's his second career walk-off homer. They are both as a member of the Brewers. The last one, of course, against the Giants last August. Wow, what a way to celebrate the start of the second half, going 3-0 against a quality playoff team in the Miami Marlins. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, to call, to text, Saudi Unlimited, WTMJ, talking text line. Craig, this is a series that I look at it where it's unsung, it's guys that you may not expect, and sort of the way that these games went, Friday, Garrett getting the job done with the walk-off single, but that was with, a lot of opportunities with runners in scoring position, but the hottest guy came through, and it was a great pitching day for the Brewers on Friday. Saturday, Braden Shumake has a great game in a day that he wasn't supposed to be in the starting lineup, then gets added after Terang's late scratch. And then today, Contreras wasn't in the starting lineup, came off the bench to pinch hit late in the game, stayed in to catch, and then a walk-off three-run homer. In the day game after the day game he caught yesterday. That's what leaders of a team do, man. They say, I got it. I can get back up there. No big deal, Skip. Whatever you need. And for William, man, it just felt inevitable there in that at-bat as he fouled off a couple of tough fastballs and then got a hanging cutter from Pete Fairbanks and sent it over the wall in left center.
I just feel like William Contreras just needs to be down in just about every count for every big moment, because we saw it again today from him. Dom, we've talked about Contreras and his growth all season long, and I think you definitely have to push the fact that this guy continues to mature, continues to just become a better player. At the same time, I think he's been so good since the Brewers acquired him that we just expect him to do all this stuff. But he can be a great player, and he continues to me to show those signs. And today he was supposed to have the day off, and coming in and catching midway through a game, especially later in the game like he did tonight, was that's tough to do. And get a couple of good at-bats, and, he fought and celebrated that home run walk-off like nobody else. Is that bat still in the air? That's my question when he tossed it up. So long as nobody got hurt. But, he's something, man. I think your whole point, too, about all the different heroes that could be here, let's face it, Christian Yelich is the most tenured Brewer on this roster. And when you think of somebody coming up in a situation like this, you kind of want Yelich to be that guy. But after that, it's anybody's opportunity. This team is very young. We're seeing guys, with big contracts that never played in the majors before, all playing together here right now and having their moments, and we're seeing their growth. So this is just phenomenal stuff to continue to witness here, and what an ending to this game.
And it was a kind of wait him out kind of game, because, look, Eury Pérez, he had the goods today. You tip your cap to how good he looked. The Brewers only got one hit off of him today. But I look at that sixth inning as the key frame for the game. They did not score in the inning. They had some bad luck on the line drive by Andrew Vaughn and Yelly getting doubled up at third base on the contact play. But the at bat before that, a 10-pitch battle with Bryce Terang. I mean, if that's a shorter at bat, and then maybe it's a different story. Or if Yuri goes quickly in that sixth inning, Yelly let off the frame with a walk and a well-timed ABS challenge as well. I mean, if Yuri gets through that sixth quickly, he's coming back out for the seventh. There's not a question in my mind. So the fact that they were able to chase him from this game early maybe than what the Marlins wanted in the sixth, knowing that they had Fairbanks available for the ninth, who has been giving it up this year, to start that wheel a little bit sooner. They had an opportunity in the seventh, didn't cash in. But the Brewers sort of felt like, wait him out. There's an opportunity waiting there in the ninth inning. And look, Pete Fairbanks is a friend of mine, but the numbers don't lie. He's given up now 8 homers this season. The Brewers see those numbers too, and they think, okay, just get to the ninth. As long as it's not Yuri, we're going to have a chance.
Yeah, for sure. And you go back to that sixth inning, and you know, this is just a team that you know, smells blood in the water, if you will. This is just what the Brewers do. They get to a certain point of a game like this, and look, it's only 1-0. And to me, up until that point, it didn't feel like the deficit was any more than 1-0. No, the Brewers only had one hit up to that point, but it just didn't feel like there was this large deficit that everybody should be throwing in the towel. We know this club doesn't do that. And, you know, one at bat, we've seen it over and over again. One at bat can change a lot of things. Sometimes one at bat doesn't change the score, but it changes your opportunity as the game progresses. And you just, you know, the baseball minds will tell you, you have to go back to that Terang at bat, even though he struck out, just what it meant at that point. And then little unlucky with the Vaughn double play, but I mean, that's how it is. We're still only in the sixth inning of the game, and they hung tough. They hung tough for sure. Perez had a great game on the mound to get through that inning, second and third, nobody out, just goes to show how good this guy is too.
Yeah, and some bad luck for the Brewers side of things. They hit the ball hard, did not get anything to show for it. And then the ninth inning was Brewers baseball to a T. You know, you get a leadoff single from Jackson Churio. Terang doesn't expand. He draws the walk. Granted, Vaughn struck out looking. He got buckled up on a very good top-of-the-zone slider from Pete Fairbanks. And then Contreras battling on the sixth pitch of the at-bat on a 1-2 pitch, goes yard on a hanging cutter. And I tweeted this, and I just got to speak my piece here again, too. Look, the Marlins are a team that call pitches from the dugout, right? They're not the only ones that do it, but they're the most proud of it. They were ahead of this at the end of last season. They are saying, we think that we need to call pitches from the dugout. We think it makes our catchers better. And look, the Brewers were running all over them all season series long. And then furthermore, I'm sorry, sometimes the feel of the game needs to be felt in the box. And to see the swings from William Contreras where he's late on a fastball and uncomfortable on a slider, it's one of two things there. Number one, because he's late on a fastball, and if you're giving him a cutter, you're putting his bat back on time. And number two, with a 1-2 count, you can go to the slider. I know I just said you're putting your bat on time, but you got to do it for a chase. You got to do it for something that is not going to put the ball in danger because you have pitches to mess with there. But again, I'm sitting here, I don't like playing armchair manager, but as somebody who's just a baseball purist, it frustrates me when the coaches aren't going to get any of the blame for this from the Marlins. And I know this is a Brewers podcast. Why am I complaining? But the point I'm saying is, like, these are little things within the game that can be noticed from more education in the game. And I just think that the more and more we sterilize the game and say, take it out of the hands of the players, that's where I'm like, no, I want the game to be reactionary, do your homework, that sort of thing. It shouldn't be coming from the dugout, and I think that it helped in the Brewers' favor today.
Well, I mean, those are really, really, really good insight points for sure. I know Vinny mentioned that on the broadcast too after Sanchez battled in an earlier at-bat and came up with a big single. So think about this. It's Sanchez earlier, and then it's Contreras late. Those are your two Brewer catchers who probably have a better feel for what's going on, as you're saying, in the batter's box behind the plate than anybody, because they're the catchers and they do call their games. So really interesting stuff. You know, I think the fact that we can bring this up on TV and radio and you know, help give an insight to our listeners, to our fans here right now, of how important it is of the two catchers we have, and the fact that this organization counts on them mightily. They go through a lot to prepare for games, and Contreras coming in, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, just in the middle of all of it. But you know he was going on and was in on the meetings before the game started too, on everything that needs to be done. So great stuff. I mean, it's really good information to point out.
Yeah, it's just something, again, I'm not in the dugout, right? I don't want to just glass house throw stones this, because I'm sure they can explain their reasoning. And also, Pete Fairbanks hung it. If it's a well-executed cutter at the top of the zone like it was supposed to be, maybe it's a different story. But nonetheless, the Brewers get the walk-off homer today from William Contreras. The pitching deserves some love, too. I mean, they held the Marlins to just one run for the entire game. We'll talk about them on the other side of the break. Here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
It was only four hits, but it was three runs, and that's more than the other team. 29th come-from-behind win this season for the Brewers that is tied for the most in Major League Baseball, only with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, the only other teams with at least 29 wins in come-from-behind fashion. All three games in this series were come-from-behind as well. 3-1 on a walk-off homer from William Contreras. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig, you know, I look at the pitching today because they only give up one run. And furthermore, the one run was a very unlikely source in Este Uri-Ruiz hitting a home run on a sweeper that was below the zone. It wasn't a bad pitch by any stretch of the imagination from Robert Gasser. They held the Marlins to just four plate appearances with runners in scoring position. They went 0-for-4 in those at-bats. And then furthermore, once again, the Brewers taking advantage of the Marlins being an aggressive team. Just one walk today across the nine innings, 10 more strikeouts. Robert Gasser started it all, and quite frankly, after as poor as Sunday went for him in Pittsburgh, for him to get back on the horse the way he did today, absolutely round of applause, did his job and did it well.
Yeah, for sure, and that's what you want to see out of these young guys here right now. It's always what you're going to do to follow up the time before, and sometimes, you know, your start before is good. So are you just going to be confident and cocky and go out there and think it, you know, it's just this easy? Of course not with this staff. And, you know, for him this time around, it's, you know, sometimes you got to do a rebound here. And he gave up that home run early in the game as well in that third inning, and, you know, held this team in check the rest of the way. So this is what it's going to take, I think, the rest of the way, too. You know, it wasn't up until, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago we were fielding calls and talking about how deep this starting rotation was. And, you know, you got to throw caution out into the wind, man, because you don't know how quickly it's going to change. And it has. And this is a guy that this team may have to count on. And he might have the poise to be able to pull it off too, Dom. And today he looked pretty strong.
I think the way that the Brewers understand their pitching dance that they're going through right now, with Harrison being on the IL, but we got good news from him today. He's going to throw another bullpen on Tuesday. He threw one yesterday and projects to return to the rotation maybe at the end of this homestand against the Rockies, if not potentially against the Giants in San Francisco. But the way that this pitching dance is going to work right now, it's who's the hot hand. They've obviously acquired Lance McCullers, and I think they're kind of holding on to Lance for Tuesday's game against the New York Mets to follow Brandon Sproat. And the way I look at the plethora of options that they choose from, right? You got Miz at the top. When Harrison comes back, he's the two. We've talked plenty about Shane Drouin and Logan Henderson kind of auditioning for that third spot. And if Robert Gasser is your five and he's giving you five innings with just one run and no walks, there are 29 other teams that would kill to have that be their fifth pitcher in their starting rotation. I think you got to appreciate what he did today. Mixed speeds well, used multiple fastballs. The sweeper was phenomenal today, especially under the hood. Some of the numbers there were really good. Yes, the velo tapered off late, but again, out of your fifth starter, that is all that you're asking from. And he was just, I'm just sitting here smiling because of, like you said, the adjustments he made from start to start to say, you know what, that's not me in Pittsburgh. He had such that great one in St. Louis. To bounce back today is massive for his psyche and for this team moving forward.
Well, and to me, too, he is the kind of the epitome of what this club has designed as far as what they need to get out of these young pitchers in their starting rotation based on how they've created the multi-inning relief behind them out of the bullpen. And today was an absolute perfect example. I mean, we could see a game pitch like this, if need be, in the postseason. And I mean, look, the kid only gave up a solo home run, and then he had great support for the final four innings. So this is all part of the grand mix. And if a guy like Robert Gasser can give him five and only give up a solo home run, no, I mean, look, that home run came in a third inning, as you said, from an unlikely source in Ruiz, and that's all the Marlins got this entire game. This staff as a whole has done a great job. And think about it too, Dom. You referenced it. They're going through it right now with this starting rotation. But it's all about holding on to some time and getting some time passed and games passed and still getting wins and getting to a point where you're feeling better about your health, you're feeling better about your performances.
I mean, the only extra base hits in this game were the home runs, right? Ruiz and Contreras. There were not many sustained rallies in this contest. Two unsung heroes from this one, Chad Patrick going two scoreless with three punch for him, and Grant Anderson with a scoreless ninth inning. I mean, again, he earns the win, I know, but again, it's just very subtle. Like, oh yeah, by the way, they're, you know, one of their B options went 1-2-3 against the 5-6-7 in the order. I just... Again, when this pitching staff is humming like this, and kudos to Avenir Uribe getting up and ready to go just in case they needed him, but for the way that the Brewers operate in close games, right? Yes, they're down 1-0 the majority of the contest. They trust their pitching staff no matter who it is, whether it's the B bullpen or the A bullpen. Keep us in it. This offense can arrive, and I think those are two. I mean, Ashby's been phenomenal all year long. I know he's hit a little bit of a rough patch in the last month or so. Him getting on back on track today was good. Chad giving you two innings was good when you knew you didn't have McGill. I just felt like this was a really great team win, top to bottom.
Yeah, for sure. And you go back to Friday too with the bullpen also doing their thing in their five innings to again put this team in a position for the walk-off. Look, it wasn't until, you know, right before the All-Star break, we were kind of, you know, beating up that, the B team bullpen, if you will, or the bullpen in general. I mean, they were just, everyone was kind of feeling it towards the end there. And these guys really to come out of the All-Star break and say, you know what, sometimes we're going to take advantage of this opportunity, this timing of being off for 4 days. And if anybody did, It's the bullpen for sure.
I think the way that the Brewers understand that the way they stay hot, it's always with the pitching staff. So who's hot, who's cold is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Whether it's a day at the lake, the golf course, or the ballpark, come home to comfort with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit Sider.com, Sider.com to schedule service today and stay cool all summer long. Some other notes about this game and about this series coming up on the other side of the break, because, you know, it was good. Brewers get a win. We're not going to complain about wins, but now we're going to pick at some nits on the other side of the break on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Few texts in here from Nick. It's one of those games going to be in your top 10 list at the end of the season. Yeah, I think that one's a nominee. Absolutely. Three consecutive comeback wins. What a series. Say goodnight, Wild Bill. Alex and Oshkosh, not one, not two, but three comeback wins. The series, first sweep since 08 against the Marlins. Most comeback wins in Major League Baseball. Special in comeback fashion. Larry from Bayview, I'm scared the Brewers are going to burn out their bullpen by not using the colors today. Maybe pitched over Chad Patrick, but what do you think? You know, I thought Chad was an unsung hero. And again, I'll double down. I think they're saving McCullers for Tuesday to follow Brandon Sproat in a just-in-case, given Sproat hasn't been giving them length as of late. Have Mizorowski go tomorrow. They flip those guys in the rotation. And maybe you see McCullers available on Tuesday coming out of the bullpen. But with Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. I'll go ahead and stick my neck out here, Craig, and say, like, look, I'm not going to complain about a sweep. They went 3-0 against the Marlins after they were really running on empty there in Pittsburgh over the last weekend. You can still argue here. Again, I'm not complaining. They're 25 games above 500. They're going to be in first place by six games here at the end of the night. And yet, they still can feel like there are areas that can be improved. I'm picking at nits here. Don't say that I'm mad. Don't say that I'm complaining. I'm just saying that there is still room to improve, which really excites me for what the final, you know, 60-ish games have here for the Brewers.
Well, I don't know, Dom. You sound like a pretty mean, lean machine on that one right there, my friend. No, I'm just kidding. No, I get it. I mean, you know what? Here's the thing, though. I don't know where the Brewers necessarily will be better down the road. I think we can all hope that they're at a point where their top three in their starting rotation are pitching their rear ends off come playoff time, and you know, their the back end of the the bullpen is where it should be at that time as well, and their hitters, you know, your clutch guys are coming through, but who knows? I mean, we're still not through July yet. And whatever they're doing here right now is certainly working. And to me, I still go back to just the depth of this club. There's so many guys that they need to come through, and there's so many guys that have been able to do that. So, no, it's never a perfect game. But I will say this, and you've said it a million times, this team's never out of it anyway at any point of a certain game.
I mean, that was Williams' 10th homer of the season. He's trying to cross the 20-homer plateau. And for Terang, he slowed down a little bit, but he still got on base in today's game. He had a great at-bat against Eury Pérez. We've talked about Yelly ad nauseum. Vaughn has really slowed down as of late. He still went 1-for-4 today with an infield single, hit the ball hard twice today. Bowers has slowed down a bit. He went 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts in today's contest. Again, I am picking at nits here. Okay, I am not complaining about this team. But I think that the way that this team jumps from being truly a World Series contender that can feel like it can beat the Dodgers, you need to be firing on all cylinders to beat that team. We all know that. We saw that last season. The Brewers weren't firing on all cylinders in the NLCS, and they got swept. The Brewers will see the Dodgers in exactly a month's time. And getting through this series, you could argue this was the hardest series they had for the next four in a row, because now you've got the Mets coming to town. Then after that, you've got the Rockies coming here. After that, you go to San Francisco. After that, you go to Anaheim. So five straight series against teams under 500 that you are absolutely better than. So take advantage of it is kind of what I'm getting at here, to say, put the hay in the barn. You're up by six games right now. Make it as impossible as possible on the other side for anybody to try to catch you. That includes the Cubs, and that includes the Braves or Phillies as they try to chase for that second seed.
I look at this too, Dom, that if the Brewers at the very least hang on to, you know, one of those top two spots and get the bye and get those extra days off, think about this. Miami's a playoff caliber team. We all understand that. And they could have won any of these games or all of them in this three-game series. But the Brewers, I think, just took advantage of that four-day off All-Star break and geared up for this team. You know, they lined up who they wanted to pitch and who was healthy enough to pitch. And you know, this team definitely took advantage of the rest time, too. So, to me, it was almost kind of a look ahead to what do you do with that time off and how do you get things in order against a playoff team that's coming to town? And this may have been kind of a look at what we're going to see come October.
The way that the Brewers are going to be looked at here at the trade deadline is if they add any sort of offense or whatever they ultimately decide to do, it's going to be at a pretty penny because there's just not a lot available there. And I said this to Augie yesterday, Craig, but I'll say it to you as well. Depending on what happens over in the American League, because there's so much chaos happening there right now, the Red Sox have suddenly won 13 in a row, and they're back in the playoff race, so none of their guys are going to be available. The Twins, as much as they got embarrassed this weekend at Wrigley, they're still in it, despite being two games under 500. And then you look at a team like, you know, the Blue Jays. They're not technically out of it, even though they just lost a series to the White Sox. Like, they don't have a lot of expiring deals. There's just not a lot available because all eyes are going to be on the Detroit Tigers of if anything is going to be coming in. It depends on them. And quite frankly, are the Brewers going to overpay for somebody like Tarik Skubal? That's just not how they roll right now. I'm sitting here going, I think it's going to be a really savvy move here at the end of things to say that they got McCullers when they did.
Yeah, I thought that that was a great trade myself, and I haven't been on since then, but with you guys on the post game show, but I think McCullers is could be the sleeper in all trades that have been made and all trades that might be, you know, yet to be made here, just because of his experience and if he gets in a great mode of being healthy, just his attitude. Well, we all know his experience, but his attitude because of his experience to accept this trade, want to come to Milwaukee, doing a little bit of research, talking to some guys that have been here, understanding the system, and then being an absolute open book to what do you want to do with me? I am all ears. And we're seeing it now in this situation. He hasn't debuted yet, and you're predicting Tuesday. We'll see how it all unfolds. But it has a lot to do with a new partnership. Does that player become a fit? And we've talked about this a million times too, Dom. The Brewers don't go after guys, really, for the most part, unless they know that they can be a fit. And if they fail, then they fail. That's fine. We get it. You got to play it out. But if the fit is productive, that means this team wins. So that's the type of guy that if they go out and get another one of a Lance McCullers type, that's great. But maybe this guy is, right from the get-go here, as soon as this series against the Mets is going to start proving his stuff.
Yep. I think the Brewers have an opportunity in front of them to say, okay, Mets, cool, you've got almost triple the payroll of the Brewers. Look at the standings. So go ahead and see old friend Freddy Peralta. I think they already know the scouting report tomorrow. Miz gets the matchup against him, and we'll be reacting to it all tomorrow after the game, Craig. Appreciate you as always.
All right, Tom. Have a good Sunday night.
All right. Buy or sell on that, on the trade deadline take? I just think the Brewers might be done unless they get an impact bat. And I just don't think there's a lot out there that I'm saying this is unequivocally better than what the Brewers have. I just don't think there's a lot out there. Do you buy that? Do you sell that? It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're buying or selling a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. More post-game reaction from you, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Back fashion. A couple of texts here coming into the program, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Andrew from Janesville. Wait for what comes next, AI calling pitches and management competing to develop the superior AI model. I'm only half kidding. Well, that was big news this week, as there are some teams that were, you know, slapped on the wrist saying, no, 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 you can't be using those iPads for custom AI models. From what I gather, the Brewers are not one of those teams. But in case you missed this headline, is that there were some teams that used the iPad, you know, it's supposed to be used for in-game charting and for video reference. There's a third custom tab you're allowed to have, and some teams started to put some AI suggestions and some pitch suggestions where it's not actually coming from the coaching, it's coming from a learning model, which Major League Baseball immediately said absolutely not. So I love that. Keep the game with the humans. I think we need to make sure that is done and easy enough. This one from the 320, pitching is doing great, but I do think we need to think bigger picture, meaning the Brewers should go after Skubal, not just to get his elite arm, but to keep him away from the Dodgers. You know, I just don't think the Dodgers need him. The Cubs are going to be the one that are going to try to get Tarek Skubal. Look, the Dodgers have Glasnow, they've got Yamamoto, they've got Snell, and they've got Ohtani, who now they're hitting that break period with Ohtani where they're saying, oh, he's not going to pitch indefinitely because of his knee. It just means they're going to keep him ready for October, right? I just think that they don't need Skubal, right? They're getting Edwin Diaz back. Like, if they get Skubal, I mean, the fans might boycott the rest of the season because that would be ridiculous. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Cubs are the fear of getting Tarek Skubal. This one, how about the potential return of Freddy Peralta? No, I just don't think it's going to happen. I think under the hood, things have changed, and I don't think either organization is looking to hit undo on that trade. Well, I think the Mets are, but I don't think the Brewers say, no, we know what he is, and this is what he is, and we'll see him tomorrow, right? I think Brewers fans are going to be a little shocked at what they see tomorrow from Freddie Peralta. It's just not the same guy. The giddy-up has not been the same. The extension has not been the same. It's weird. It's very odd for Freddie. I hope he figures it out as soon as he's done pitching against the Brewers. Aaron in Illinois, I think the team really needed this type of win. A crazy walk-off today. First sweep of Miami at home since 18. What do you think about the lefty reliever from San Francisco, Eric Miller? He should be available. Let me see how many years of control Eric Miller has, because when you start talking about relievers and young relievers like Miller, he's 28 years old. I mean, he's got he's got 4 years of team control, 3 years really, when you include the rest of his career, including this season. I think the Giants feel that they could rebuild things around somebody like Eric Miller. When you're looking at relievers, you're looking at guys on expiring deals or teams that are not anywhere near competing. And Miller would be a great fit. He strikes out and gets groundouts. That'd be a pretty high price to pay to try to get him. He's got 10 holds this season. He does give up a handful of base hits, 20 walks as well, and his 28 innings is not something I love. Maybe, but probably not. The kid on the A's is the one that continues to jump out at me as just maybe, because the A's are, you know, they're a mess right now. And they have a righty. I think he's on the injured list right now, though, actually, now that I'm taking a look at things. And, yeah, Justin Sterner, he's got a knee issue. Just got put on the IL on Friday. So that makes things tough. He was a former Tampa Bay Ray prospect. So just some thoughts from you guys and from over on the YouTube live chat. A few folks calling the Wild Bill home run there. Everybody just had that feeling, right? It felt inevitable. As for the player of the game, it's easy to give it to Wild Bill for the walk-off home run, of course, coming off of the bench. I also want to point out Jackson Churio starting that rally, going 1-for-3. You can also even give love to Robert Gasser in the bullpen, too, but you got to give it to the guy that went over the fence with the walk-off homer. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Murph and then highlights coming up till the bottom of the hour on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Been talking plenty. Brewers get the dub. Let's get to Pat Murphy's press conference, brought to you by Old Fashioned Roofing. Win or lose, Murph gives it to you straight. And around here, so does Old Fashioned Roofing, veteran-owned, Wisconsin-built. Murph's post-game press conference is presented by Old Fashioned Roofing, where a handshake still matters. Here's the skipper after a sweep over the Marlins.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, credit to our guys that we hung in and pitched the way we did, defended the way we did. And then we're in the position to do it. And then the big swing by William, that just, you just can't make that up. You know what I mean? That's got to be a guy who knows he can. I hope he gains more and more confidence. This kid is just scratching the surface how good this kid can be. But to come in the game late, which he's a guy that catches every day, so when he gets those off days, he savors them. But I just felt like coming off the All-Star break, even though he had the rigmarole of going to the, or the, you know, the busyness of the All-Star week, I knew his legs were good, and you know, I could put him in for two at bats. So it was, it was fortunate it happened that way. But credit the pitcher for Miami. I mean, this guy is really, really good. He's pitched good against us before, but he was unbelievable today. And his like four pitch mix. It wasn't just 100. It was a four pitch mix. You look at the at bat that Terang had in his last inning. Terang struck out, but you look at that bat, it's 11 pitches, I believe, 10 or 11 pitches. That took some gas out of him, you know. He humped up for 101, but that might have been the key to the game to get him out of there, you know. Who knows, but, yeah, that was you don't notice those things. And Vaughn hitting the line drive, and we get doubled off there like you should on a contact play. But, yeah, it was – yeah. Didn't look very good for us, and Churio comes up big there, and Terang big at bats at the end, and then, yeah, what can you say? Wild Bill, pretty special. A lot of contributors today, a lot of contributors. Gary Sanchez getting on base twice, caught a great game. Gasser was great. Chad Patrick and Ashby Anderson. I mean, the pitching, you know, to hold them to one run. That's a pretty good ball club.
Murphy, you kind of talked a lot before about how guys kind of back end of the bullpen need to be able to keep you in games with what Chad and Grant did. Is that kind of an example of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, Chad's been mostly great all year, you know, in that role. And he's really responded very well. We had some adversity out there today, and it wasn't as sharp, but, you know, got it done, and especially his second inning. And Anderson coming in facing the two lefties and getting it done versus them made a huge difference. So,
Murph, what's the communication like with William throughout the game? Does he know at the beginning of the game that he might go in?
No.
At the end?
No, he assumes that Gary's going to catch all nine, but he knows that we could use him as a pinch hit, usually not to go in and catch, unless we're going to pinch run for Gary. Gary's, you know, going to get pinch run for at the end of the game if we're losing. So he knows he might have to go in and catch. He has. It's not that fun because you're mentally kind of like gone. That was some of the thinking of putting him in the seventh, was that to hit, was thinking that, you know, he's going to get two at-bats, not just one. He swung a ball four the first time up to lead off that inning, and he's tough on himself, you know. Like I said, you know, he can be tough on others too and tough to relate to sometimes, but he's a fierce competitor, and I'd like to see him believe in himself a little more, to be honest with you. You guys might be surprised by that, but I'd like to see him believe in himself a little bit more, you know.
So you were playing at two at-bats. It wasn't Gary singling there in the seventh to get pinch run for him. Keeps William in the game, right?
William was in the game. I told him at that point, you're going in the game, you're going to get two at-bats. Hopefully, not necessarily. I mean, it would have been, we'd have to have one guy get on base. Chances are in three innings you will. I said you're going to get two at-bats, and you're going to catch. So I told him right then, because we had already had Pratt and Lara ready to go in those games regardless. So good experience for them too. Young players just in the big leagues get to go into a game like that and play a role, you know.
Kirk, what do you like about what Gasser did today?
Yeah, he was great. Gasser was great. Gary did a great job with him. He pounded his fastball a lot better. He had better velo with his fastball. Responded really good. You know, I think that's 3 out of 4 pretty sound outings for him. But his pitch count got up there. His velo started to go in the fifth. You always worry about what happened over break. How much actual did they get out of the rhythm? I know they all threw, but did they get out of the rhythm a little bit?
Yeah, his velo definitely tapered off later in the contest, but Gasser did his job. He gets a no decision, but he definitely didn't lose this game for the Crew. Highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho-ho-ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers and Marlins, finale of the series. Eury Pérez getting the start on the other side for the Fish. But it was 1-0 Marlins against Robert Gasser, a solo homer by Esteury Ruiz, would hold for a long time in this game. Brewers had an opportunity in the sixth, two men aboard for Andrew Vaughn.
1-1. And a ground ball, a liner right to the shortstop, Sanoja, who catches it and throws to third and doubles off Yelich. Goodness gracious. Vaughn hit a rocket right to Sanoja at 101, and with the infield in, it was right at him. He caught it, and nothing Yelich could do.
It was a contact play, a poor read from Yelich, and the Brewers were still down 1-0, but Pérez would exit after the sixth inning. Chad Patrick had a scoreless sixth and seventh innings. Ashby dealt with some traffic, keeping it a one-run game in the eighth.
And the 0-2 pitch. Bouncing ball to third. Played by Ortiz. Pats the glove, throws to first in time, and they got out of it. Aaron Ashby, a little bit of trouble with back-to-back singles and one away. No problem. Gets out of the jam, and the Brewers keep it at a one-run deficit.
Then after pretty much a whole line change defensively after a brief rally in the seventh, the Brewers found themselves still down 1-0 in the ninth with Churio, Terang, Vaughn, and Contreras due. Churio led off the frame with a single. Terang drew a walk. Vaughn would strike out. And Contreras would fall behind 1-2 before one of the highlights of the season.
The 1-2 pitch is a fly ball. Deep center field. Marcy's back. Track. Wall. Bye. Bye. Baseball. Wild Bill. A three-run shot. And the Brewers walk off the Marlins. And they break out the brooms in Milwaukee.
How about it? Lane Grindle's call. Brewers win 3-1. They go 3-0 in the return to the second half. It's going to just about do it for our program here tonight. We are back tomorrow, 6:40, first pitch. I will have postgame for you as well. Brewers All Access, the podcast feed, if you can't find it anywhere else. Evan Witalis and our producer, I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.